Thank you. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like to share the new man. It's something that I've been working in the Word to learn how to be a Christ-like man and rise up. And this goes for men and women and everybody. But with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, arisen also was a new way to live. And this new way is called in the Word putting on the new man. And there's a lot to that. And some of the questions that have come to my mind about that is, what is this new man? How does God desire for him to act? What is it all about? What's he like? How does he act? How can you recognize him? How does he conduct himself? And these questions I'd like to answer from God's Word and benefiting all of our lives and showing us how to be that same way. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." This new man is a man of the highest caliber. Yeah. He's renewed in knowledge after a particular image, after God, after God's image. Well, how is that going to work, seeing how God is invisible? Well, the way it works, it's the image that is from God's written word, because that's how God communicates about himself to us. So it's from God's word that we learn how to put on the new man, the man of the highest caliber. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to spend a few minutes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I could not think of a better section of God's word that so clearly showed me the answers to all of these questions that I just brought up about putting on the new man, a man that is renewed in knowledge. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." This is talking about Paul and Timothy and Silas, that they were leadership, and they went to the Thessalonian believers. And this epistle was also delivered first to the Thessalonian believers before it went out from there. And verse 2, "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." The new man boldly speaks God's word. And this is part of what he's like. He boldly speaks God's word. Verse 3, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but as pleasing God." It says "but God," but you can put "as pleasing" right there also. "Which trieth our hearts." The new man, it exhorts to accomplish the worthy endeavors of God's word. That's what he does. And it's not by pleasing men, but it's by pleasing God. Because sometimes man may not be too pleased to hear the words of God, but it's always going to be of great benefit. And so the new man sticks to the word of God. "Thus saith the Lord." That's what it's all about. Verse 5, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness." God is witness. The new man is not a flatterer, not cloaking a covetous agenda. What's he clothed in? He's clothed in righteousness. The new man, this is how he's recognized. Verse 6, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." One of the greatest burdens in life is to be self-seeking, to be self-centered, to be an I, me, me person. And not only is it a burden to the individual doing that, but it's a burden to the individuals or people that comes to. It burdens their soul life. In contrast, the new man is a burden bearer, one that can bear others' burdens. This is the new man. Sure. In verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." This is the new man. Gentle, caring, cherishing. But cherishing what? The new birth. It's like a baby in there. It grows up, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a cherishing way of being. Isn't that wonderful? In verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Why? Because you were dear unto us. Whenever an individual not only wants to give the words and things they know from their mind and their heart, but they want to give their whole life in service, or whoever they're given to or whatever they're given to is pretty dang dear unto them. It means a lot. Do you know that this word dear is the same word that's used in the Gospels where God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. As Jesus Christ is dear unto God, so too are the individuals in the Christian family dear unto the new man. And that's from the word agape, that word dear. Cool, isn't it? The new man gives his life and his soul in service. The service is motivated because others are counted dear. After all, one does serve what is dear, right? Yes, that's true. What he truly loves, that's what typically gets served in life. The new man lives a most amazing, balanced walk. And this walk is based on what is counted dear to him. That's what counts. That's the criteria. And so the new man has a way to balance that. And God shows what is dear unto him in the word. And if we're going to be imitators of God as dear children, we let the same things be dear unto us, each other, God's word. Let's go to verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. One of the whole reasons and context of this chapter in Thessalonians is that God wanted the Thessalonian believers to learn how to walk a different way. Walk according to the new man way. The new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so in understanding this, we see that God wants all of us to walk worthy. He wants all of us to do that for a reason. Why? Because he hath called us into his kingdom and glory. Called means to be invited. And we heeded the invitation. We got invited. Yeah, I'm there. I want to walk in the kingdom. To walk in the kingdom, one must walk as the new man. That new way, and that is epitomized by the agape lifestyle. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Yes. The new man shows how to walk worthy, how to walk a balanced walk. Because it's very clear to see what is dear unto the new man. Because of the love, the care, the cherishing, the nourishing of God's people, of God's word. It's just front and center. There's nothing hidden. There's no cloak of covetousness. There's no ulterior motives. There's no hidden agenda whatsoever. It's all out in the open. It's a way of life that God wants every one of his children to walk, all of us included. This is how the new man's life benefits others, showing them how to walk a balanced life, a life worthy of God in the kingdom. Verse 13, this is where I'd like to close. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which, that word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, the new man has heeded God's invitation into his kingdom. The new man is so thankful to know and to see others that also believe God's word, because it worketh effectually in everybody that believes it. And so here's the new man out there holding forth God's word in life, living life to the fullest, holds forth that word, and somebody believes it, and it starts to work effectually. And guess what? Then they're out there loving and cherishing and caring and giving their, not just the words that they speak, but their very souls. And one of the things from this section of God's word is giving of one's whole soul life is in sharp contrast to the me, going to do it my way. I've got to have my own thing and be self-serving. Sharp contrast. 180-degree difference there. And that is the way of a new man. With this new man, the Word of God becomes living and real, and it worketh effectually. This is part of putting on the new man. Thank you.
Thank you.